This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy. The number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty Studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur's in the other room because he just got his CBD treat. He's ready to kick it and relax. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, first-time guests, but they know how to get invited on a podcast. Guys, from the Try It, You'll Like It podcast, we got David Zwick and Winston Carter.
Hello!
Hey, how's it going?
Please, thanks for coming. And as I was saying, listeners, shitheads, they know how to get invited on a podcast. They said, hey, can we make barbecue and come over and talk about barbecue? I was like, I don't even know who you fucking people are, but get to my house ASAP.
That is, that's our MO. That's how we get into clubs, too.
Right. Yeah. I think you guys could be invited anywhere if you show up with this much smoked meat.
We are not afraid to beg to get on things we want or do the things that we want to do.
Grovel, you could have like requested dishes and we would have been like, oh, you want cassoulet?
We need a source of lamb belly? Yeah.
God, guys, this conversation is like porno to me already. The shit you're saying is like, so let's talk about this a little bit. So your podcast, Try It, You'll Like It. We'll plug it more at the end, but you guys have people on and if they don't like a food, you try to make several dishes using that food that would present it in a way they might enjoy.
Yeah, we say that it's our guests try a food they hate one last time, and every dish that we supply for them has that component ingredient. We try to make a sweet thing if we can, if it's like a non-sweet thing. It's usually a savory, a sweet, and it's served in its rawest form. Yeah. And then sometimes we make six or seven things if too excited.
Yeah, it can be way too much stuff sometimes.
Like I scared Winston's girlfriend with what I deemed egg plate, which was
seven different types of egg.
On one plate.
For someone who does not like eggs, she was real upset.
You don't like eggs? Well, how about we try it seven ways? Yeah. Oh, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Weird.
No, she left that still not liking eggs.
Yeah. So. But I love dinner.
This all stemmed from you guys emailed me asking me to be on your podcast, and I don't think there's a food I don't like.
And we can find one.
I'm sure we can find one that I like. Raw tomatoes, I prefer not to eat, but that's like a weird thing to be like, make me like raw tomatoes. You know,
we just get a bunch of Taco Bell,
right? Yeah. Oh, wow, holy shit! I've eaten a dozen tomatoes by accident. Oh, is this a quesarito? Is there tomato on this? You gotta be kidding me.
Salt.
We're going to talk barbecue today.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a diehard fan of barbecue, but it sounds like you guys are fans, but also, I think you emailed me at 11 p.m. last night saying we just put the meat in.
Oh, yeah. That was true. Winston came over at 11 p.m. to put the meat. This meat went overnight.
I got in an Uber at 10:30 and was like, I have work to do. I went to someone else's home.
I put chips on at 1 in the morning, 1:30, and then was up at 7 to check.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, guys. This makes me so happy. I mean, I feel bad how much labor went into this.
We
do this routinely for ourselves. So,
talk to me. How do you two guys get this into cooking? Or because even what you just described for what you would do for your podcast seems like more than most people our age are doing.
Also, we made a mistake with our podcast. Right off the bat, we made a big mistake. All you have to do is invite people over to talk about a topic. What we do is we have to plan a menu, source the food, cook, and then have it ready to go in time to serve on the show.
Insane. I wouldn't do a podcast if it wasn't like literally at my house. I even send off the files and someone else edits it and posts it. Shout out to Mars. Yeah. And I couldn't even imagine having that. When I wanted to do a podcast, I was like, I had all these ideas, but they involved like, I should interview scientists. I'm like, that'll be hard to do. And then I just eventually just got it down to, I'll just talk to people. And I'm like, it's so obviously the most fucking half-assed shit in the world.
I like that in your mind, there's a ranking of humans and scientists are at the top.
Right.
And then the rest of us are just, dummies. Yeah. Just old dumb people.
I thought I did do a science podcast and it's like, it's way easier to book people who have their own podcast or are comedians because they want to talk. Scientists are like, this does nothing. This takes me in out of the lab. No, I don't get more funding if someone thinks I'm interesting
it's
on your podcast.
The same for us with chefs. We've had better luck with chefs who happen to have podcasts, getting them booked on our show.
Because
for the we intended to like only be chefs.
Yeah.
And it's so much more fun to have comedians on who are used to talking into a microphone.
Right.
Yeah, it's less work on our end, for sure.
Are you guys cooks? Is that so, like your
Our journeys are pretty different.
I worked as a cook for years, college, and then a couple years after. And then when I moved to LA, I actually got my first like desk job. And then I cook for fun now.
Oh,
yeah. Whereas, but I had like 4 or 5 years experience.
But it's like cooking for fun for you is it's like you'll seek out recipes. You'll
Hours to make dinner last night for myself.
All right, for
For just me.
What'd you make?
I made a steak because it was on sale, and I made mashed potatoes and then like roasted vegetables.
Oh,
like
shit.
A bunch of different vegetables, oven roasted. It was really good.
Yeah, and I have no professional cooking experience. I'm a true hobbyist, but I. And when I started out, I was bad, and I think a lot of it feeds into, like, I need to be challenged, and so this became a thing of, like, I don't like someone telling me I can't do something, or, like, I don't like a thing that I enjoy being out of the realm of me being able to make it, and for a while, it was dietary, too. It's like, if I cook for myself, then I...
then you know it's like, you know what's in it, you know how it's going and all that.
And then if I finish making ice cream, then I don't have to feel guilty about eating it because at any point in the 12-hour process, I could just stop making ice cream.
Right.
But if I've finished making ice cream...
You sound so fucking crazy when you talk like that. Like at any moment.
Yeah, you sound...
If I at any point, this will be a bad idea, and no.
I enjoy... I'm like... the least skilled person in the kitchen, but I still enjoy it. I enjoy picking out quality ingredients and then figuring out the best way to eat the best and for me, the easiest way. Like my go-to thing is like, I like the foresight of cooking for me. Mm-hmm. It's something where I'm like, let's go to the farmer's market, get that awesome poultry market, get a bunch of chicken wings. Let's get them in the marinade now. Now let's master how long do we bake them before we flash broil them or whatever. And like that kind of shit to me, that's like my extreme of cooking is like that. It's like, how can I best make bacon? Like my five favorite foods I've just like
constantly made.
Down. Yeah, I make killer breakfasts. I'm very good at like omelets and scrambles and shit like that.
That's hard stuff.
Yeah.
That's not like...
Eggs the usual test for cooks, right?
Yeah, eggs and soups.
Yeah.
The omelet is like the French test, right? At least from that that makes me sound
Bradley
racist.
Cooper?
Movie with Meryl Streep and she owns a restaurant across from like an Indian family that opens up a restaurant.
Oh, 800
800 steps or whatever.
Something,
Helen Mirren, right? So that's like...
Helen Mirren, not Meryl Streep. Okay, so I'm racist about both white people and Indian people.
Yeah, so it's evened out.
And it's 100 steps... What is it? It's the 100-yard journey...
It's something like that. But it's about like
we'll spend the next hour.
An Indian family opens up a restaurant across from Meryl Streep, who's got like a Michelin star.
Helen Mirren again.
I'm so happy that I mixed up the two Indian dudes, but also two white ladies.
Yeah.
So
you're fine.
I just generally don't know things. It's
I'm face blind. So. Yeah. It's not an issue.
Yeah. So specifically barbecue.
Yeah.
What made you guys, I mean, obviously barbecue is like, there's a weird sort of masculine tradition around. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not just down gender lines anymore. Anyone could cook barbecue. Yeah. But there's something about smoking meats and like 10-hour labor. Yeah.
You're outside. Yeah. It's giant hunks of animal.
Yeah.
There's fat and like blood. Not blood, but like there's like juices involved. For me, it's all, I was born in Texas and raised in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So this is like.
So those are two very different types of
birthright kind of food.
That's awesome. What about you?
I was raised Jewish in Chicago. And whenever we would eat barbecue.
Dish unleavened pizza.
Yeah. Throw that in the smoker. We're good to go.
A foot of matzah. God, my mouth is so dry.
Yeah. Growing up, my favorite foods tended to be like Southern food. There's nothing in my ancestry that says I should enjoy this. But eating barbecue with my dad particularly there's a restaurant in Evanston that's no longer there called Merle's that would serve Brunswick stew, which is
like barbecue.
It's just
chili,
it's barbecue chili, yeah. And it was like one of my favorite things to eat.
That's right in my wheelhouse. Yeah.
And then as soon as I was in a place where it's like, I can cook, I have my own kitchen, barbecue was something I wanted to figure out. Almost gave myself zinc poisoning in college because
We're saying this before we eat.
Yes. Well, we cook this on.
That's fine. I'm low on zinc. Yeah. If there's a way to go out, it's death by barbecue. I'll take that.
Well, I was in the process of making a barbecue rig out of an old trash can in college.
Oh, that'll
do it. A buddy of mine says to me, like, I don't think you can use a trash can as a cooking vessel. And then Google is great because Google says, don't do that. You cannot cook in a garbage can.
Oh, you were intending. Oh, God, that's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But that is my grandfather was a like a caterer, like a chef, but in like he was an army cook who turned into like he cooked for parties and like the VFW and worked at a deli. So he wasn't like a chef per se, but he would cook like shit on a shingle, like chip beef was like his big thing. But he used to barbecue for all the holidays, and he cooked in a cut in half oil drum with like a chain link fence over it. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah.
No, that's like, there's something very like, if you were never in the military, it's like a lot of rigs.
Yeah.
And there's like, oh yeah, I got to put this thing on the back of the truck. You need a truckload of stuff to make barbecue, which is like inherently kind like it. All of like I'm like this like kind of like delicate artsy dude, but I'm like, no, I might get a bruise while I'm making this.
Yeah. There's smoke, there's fire, there's temperatures, there's animal meat. Yeah.
Real bad for you. So,
right. Oh, barbecue is the fucking bomb, dude. Southern food is so for real. I seek it out wherever I go. Mm-hmm. I always want to try the new good barbecue spots. Yeah. Do you have favorite LA barbecue spots?
I do. I have a strong Bledsoe's Bar and Q.
Bledsoe's
is my absolute favorite. Oh, I mean, also the original Bledsoe's, but the one I've been to more often because it's closer to me.
The one on La Brea?
Is the original Bledsoe's still there?
Yeah.
In Crenshaw or whatever it is? Yeah.
I think it's Inglewood.
Inglewood,
that's my, that hits like exactly what the hell I'm looking for. Reminds me of home.
I think that's like pretty much the best barbecue I've had out here too. I haven't had many places because once I found that, I kind of kept going there.
Yeah, everything's good here?
Cool. And you know where I live now. I live rather close as well. Yeah.
This would be a dangerous location if I lived here.
What I did do a couple of times that I've eaten there was promise myself I had to walk there and back. I walk there, smoke a joint, eat a bunch of barbecue, but then I've Ubered back both times.
100%.
100%.
Because I like wanted to get links to go and stuff. I'm like, I don't want to walk with like leftovers for 2 miles.
I told my girlfriend that I loved her the first time there.
Really?
I didn't know
we
that.
We were so...
That's a brisket-induced romance.
Yeah, we ordered so much. It was when they had 2 platter sizes, and we ordered... There were 9 of us, and we ordered 2 of the big platters. She did not go to work the next day. She ate so much more. She called in to work.
Wow, that's crazy that you didn't tell her you loved her till that day. Because I would have told her the next morning when she called in sick because she ate so much barbecue. I'd be like, keep her.
Yes. And you told her in front of a bunch of other people?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, I love you. And then I fell asleep.
A brisket with sauce out of your mouth. A burnt end stuck in your teeth.
It's like, if you could deal with me when I'm this covered in tallow, you could like really.
Do you have a barbecue spot in LA?
I like Bledsoe's a lot. I haven't had Trudy's.
I haven't had Trudy's either. And I haven't had, is that Trudy's Underground?
That's
or whatever?
Trudy's Underground.
She's opening a place called Slab on 3rd Street.
Oh,
which
nice.
Be very close to you. Yes. But I would also expect prices on that barbecue to be $30
If we name one more barbecue place and its relation to you, people can figure out exactly.
Yeah, you can just,
we're going to triangulate you.
Also, you could just pick like 10 restaurants that I've mentioned on this podcast 100 times and figure out where I live. He talks about son of a gun, and animal. Oh, there he is.
But there's also a big movement right now. Bledsoe would be my favorite, but there's like a lot of the breweries on Sundays. There's Hayseed, there's Republic Barbecue. There's a lot that are just popping up at breweries downtown.
Oh, cool. At the brewery, they're like, Sundays we're going to be smoking meat or whatever. Yeah. Because you can make an insane amount, with a little bit of foresight, you can make an insane amount of brisket to serve like 100 people, sort of like if you have the space, right? Like these guys, like if you have a brewery and you're like, cool, we can fit a huge ass smoker locker outside, mm-hmm. and a bunch of all you need is that and sauce and chips or
and
whatever.
And if you have like the room to like do it, what is the real way? Like toss logs into a thing. You really just need like a big metal thing and a clean grate,
yeah.
and enough space and people who don't mind smoke.
And it can't be lined with a
yeah, it can't
sink.
Be sink.
No, yeah. sink. Yeah. It can't be like a lifeguard's nose. Yeah. That's oh fuck, man. I'm so hyped. I can't. I just went to Texas with the mm-hmm. Doughboys. Not just. This was like 6 months mm-hmm. ago. But I had never been to Lockhart.
Okay. Yeah. And so you went and did.
I did those three spots there. I
what is it? It's Mueller's. There's City.
Lou Mueller's.
I forget like the third name. It's like yeah. Craig's or whatever. Yeah. It's like yeah. some dude's
oh,
name.
Isn't it something? It's German, right? It's like.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a
Kreutz.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
Kreutz. Yeah. It's yeah, like yeah. Kreutz Market.
It's like a weird spell. Yeah.
K-R-E-U-T-Z.
Yeah. You're not positive how to say it.
Yes.
But that was some of the best barbecue I've ever had. Like. Yeah. The smoker's like on the floor mm-hmm. in there. Like you walk in and it's like you're coughing. Like yeah. you're just like
oh, you immediately think like yeah, yeah. I'm just always like, oh, this is just like a casino,
right?
Like yes. a smellier casino is what I'm in. Yeah,
I think it was the most amount of like amputee Korean War vets I've ever seen in one place. Like it just felt like it
that's
was
not what I would have thought I was going to hear.
It was just like the oldest, like the most old, like real yeah. dudes, like yeah. text because it's like. A half, it's like 40 minutes outside of Austin, mm-hmm. and there's literally nothing else around but these three barbecue spots. And there was just these, like, all these old men in wheelchairs with, like, those hats that have a bunch of pins and,
scrambled
like, a Navy ship.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were just fucking, everyone was just drinking Lone Stars and eating mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the place to go.
Yeah, yeah. There's something, there's, like, barbecue places, because there's such a, like, you can look at the wall and know that it's, like, real. Because right. it's like, oh, it's weird brown. Yeah. It, like, has this vibe.
Give me a slice of white bread, like, one spoon yep. and, like, a plate that drips, mm-hmm. and I'm ready to fucking go ham.
Yeah, that's, like, a lot of my experiences are similar to that. I like would get drive-through barbecue on long trips through Texas
oh.
and put it all in the passenger seat. And then you have the white bread and I'd be like, give me like half a loaf.
And I would, you would just, do it like Ethiopian style.
Yeah, I would literally would just pick it up and then dip that a little bit in sauce and then into the mouth.
I did do that the day after Christmas this year, cause I was driving a car from Chicago to Los Angeles and the path you're supposed to take takes you through Iowa, Nebraska, which I've done before. And I was like, there's no way I'm doing that. I'm driving yeah. through Kansas City.
Yeah. Ah, smart.
So I did a 10 a.m. breakfast at Arthur Bryant's and then an 11 a.m. at, it's now Joe's, but it used to be Oklahoma Joe's. It's out at a gas station.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
the original location, right?
The original yeah. location. It was very, I tried to get to Wyoming from Kansas City in one day with a gut of barbecue.
Yeah, man. Just get driving food. I'd be fine.
Oh, it was perfect.
That's how I run.
I'd be dozing off yeah. at the fucking, but we
also,
all do.
Yeah, I also, like, I was going to bring 2 pounds of meat to a friend and only had a scant yeah. pound by the time I got yeah, there.
It was me. You yeah. could say it was me. That was oh, you had someone else?
I was going fuck. To our buddy Steve's oh, yeah. in Wyoming.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. Let's talk about this barbecue that's right. sitting in front of us yeah. now, because sure. I'm getting legit, like, whatever the mouth version of horny is what I have right now.
So
I have a mouth horny. Boner. Yeah. Oh, that's just horny. Yeah. Wait, I'm hard. Never yeah. mind.
One thing that we don't share a lot is taste. We like going to good restaurants. We like eating together, yeah. but our specific tastes are very different.
Yeah. I'm also much more of a like when it comes to barbecue stuff, because I was raised with it so much.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not like that about anything else, but about it, I'm like, no, you don't put that. Ugh. Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
man. What are you... Garlic powder? Get out of here. Yeah. Like,
well, you did that to me last night with the lacquer for one of the
yeah,
things.
Yeah. Well, I, just put it, I was like, how about you don't put it on half of it, and we'll just yeah. see. We'll see which one's better.
So what
that's
we,
really fun that you guys cook that much together, which is a wild, because I mean you've done it to yourselves
yes,
by
yes.
the premise of your
this
podcast.
This is the prison we've built.
Yeah,
but no, it's yeah, it's great.
So we have sauced and unsauced ribs, because I have a preference for sauced ribs and Winston does
yeah,
not.
I'm not into it. not into it. After once it's on the plate, sure.
Yeah.
While it's on, no, I don't need it.
Interesting.
We brought two different sauces because Winston did not like.
Yeah,
mine.
I got the. I literally tried it. It was like. So what did you like put in this? What did you put in this?
So wait, what did he do?
He used a citrus vinegar.
I have a homemade citrus vinegar
that's good, but that's good. I don't love.
You don't like the vinegar-based barbecue.
I like vinegar-based barbecue sauce. I don't like the specific vinegar he used.
He went to the store, bought apple cider vinegar.
I came back. I was like, I'll do it. I'll do one. So that's where we're at today.
So, yeah, and you guys enjoy this podcast, right? It's starting to seem like
it's the only time I hang out with him anymore.
Yes, right, yes.
Former best friend.
Right. Well, that is like the Action Boys podcast has done that. Me and like Ben Rogers, we spend. And Ryan Stenger, but Ben Rogers and I were best friends forever, and now we spend like 3 hours a week talking about movies where it's like, I don't even want to see you outside of this now.
Yeah,
it's
like, you said, we're best friends. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now we're more. Now we're just collaborators.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have sauced and unsauced ribs, and then we brought a good amount of pulled pork.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Good amount.
Yeah.
So,
Also, you guys brought King's Hawaiian, which is like a dream come true.
You just need something... for sopping purposes.
I love a classic Wonder Bread, but or white bread, even shittier than Wonder.
I'm a real believer in the white bread with barbecue, but I went, let's wing it today.
King's Hawaiian, I think is like literally, when I have like this, talk about like the five things I cook well, I have this like bacon burger blend recipe that I do with like bread and butter pickles and Gruyere cheese on top, but I use King's Hawaiian rolls and it's just absolutely primo.
For any type of like, what place is it? It's a Doghouse serves all their burgers and hot dogs on King's Hawaiian.
Oh,
did you not know about this?
I did not know about this. Taking notes, Doghouse.
And it's, I'm like, oh yeah, this is just better and everyone loves this.
Right, it's a go-to that everyone digs King's
Which
Hawaiian.
Is, it's just it's, sugar bread.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is cake. Because it is candy. Yeah.
You spent one extra dollar and now this is like high-end cuisine
for
you.
Now this is fancy. Versus it's not a dollar loaf of white bread, which is what I'm used to.
Would you be surprised to hear that upon unveiling all the ribs, Arthur came fucking powering in here. Get out of here, you little freak.
So we got sauceless ribs.
Oh my god, we're gonna go
sauced ribs. This is gonna be a mess.
So I may lose some listeners at this point. For those of you freaks who don't like to listen to strangers eat on podcasts,
but you are getting experience of, if you like it, this is what our whole podcast is. Right?
For our podcast, it's all this. You would not make it past minute 40 in any episode. Yeah.
Well, we always do, I always do Taco Bell taste tests with Betsy and Mono here, too, and people are just like, I shut it off once they're talking with their mouths full. I'm like, yeah, that's fair. Get back, bud. Get back.
And so pork was pork shoulder, and these are spares. So the spares are the ones that have a shorter bone, but then also have that, like, is it a bone, the little white thing right there?
Yeah, there's a separate bone, and they're the longer, they're like... the higher, like more flat part of the rib cage.
Yeah.
Your baby backs do less work and are closer to the spine.
I like them less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are like, better. They have more meat.
Yeah. I like those more. I'm also a fan of beef ribs. Like those are.
We're experimenting with short ribs right now because you can get them cheap at the Korean markets in LA.
Oh hell yeah!
And I'm like, yeah, this is like very cheap, and I can just put it on.
That's the move. Yeah. Oh man, so do you have a go-to order when you go to a barbecue place, or is there like, do you have a? Because I used to be like, oh, pulled pork is the answer, but now I'm like. Now I've like, as I've gotten older, it's sort of like, I always joke that pulled pork, transitioning to brisket from pulled pork is like, as you get older and you like butts more than boobs.
Yes.
Where you're like, I'm mature now. I like butts.
Yeah. Something you can really do something with. I agree. Cause as a kid, I liked pulled pork more. I think it's just more accessible and it's also not as intensely flavored.
Right. Yeah. I think also when you can get pulled pork at like, you know, Applebee's, and it's like, I don't like that because I mean, it comes like that syrup bowl of But as a kid, you're just like, oh, this is meat and candy together.
Yes, because it's all just mixed with the. So, we have where I'm from, we have a lot of chopped barbecue.
Yes.
Like, which I have not seen really outside of
you don't really
Oklahoma,
see chopped
Texas,
meat sandwiches
out here. Yeah, but like where it's everything they have tossed with sauce. But so that's pulled pork is essentially that most places.
Right, yeah.
But for me, it's if I go somewhere, I try the brisket. And I can almost know immediately if I'm going to dig it. So how thick is it cut? Is it super thinly sliced, which I get out of here.
Yeah.
and then I always try usually whatever sausage they have just because it's
I'm a big
good.
Fan of a hot
it's
link.
Good.
Throw a hot link on the side because I like, I'm so full. I feel absolutely full. Oh, there's half a hot link and a slice of white bread left. Well, that doesn't count.
Yeah,
like,
that's
that
fine.
I can get in.
And and for me, it just depends. Like when I was in Kansas City, of course I'm going to get bird ends there.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends on whether the place, like Bloodsoe's, specializes in Texas. Right. So I should be getting their brisket. But for me, I'm pork over beef. maybe that's the Jewish heritage coming back and I'm eating something I'm not supposed to be eating.
It's the naughty Jewish boy.
I was raised on brisket, but brisket in a much different way.
Yeah.
And
pastrami'd.
Yeah.
Which,
but it's also
to
like,
me, it's close. Yeah. Like, when I first moved out here, there were barbecue places, and Langer's pastrami was the closest I got to being like, yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
I just
about.
Need some sweet sauce and I'm sold. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah.
Pork is the one I feel the guiltiest about eating, though, because I'm also a former, I was a vegetarian for like, I wasn't raised vegetarian, went ham on it to his dismay.
Yeah. I was always like, hey, man, you want, what does this bacon look like? What are you thinking?
And then now that I'm like fully back on meat, pork is the one I feel the
worst
about.
Roller coaster.
Yeah.
Well, if there's a moral quandary about the meats, I don't even want to get into it.
No, we don't have to. And I'm sorry for bringing that up right before.
Well, by the way, my wife does not eat beef and pork for those reasons, it does not affect me. Okay. I'll be fine. I would eat marrow all day long if I could out of like a bucket. I fucking. Yeah.
So which sauce is which, Winston? So I don't upset you.
This is the David made one, and this is the Winston made one.
Yeah. Oh God, maybe I need to try both.
Yeah, you can go for it.
And then really cause a drama between the two of you when I choose.
I mean, it'll be fine. We're
mine's
so
got
used...
a little more heat to it.
Okay.
I guarantee you what my answer is going to be is that I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, fuck
so
him. What did we do
ketchup,
all this work
right?
for?
Holy shit. And sauce and pork. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, I'm going to just take some pork with my hands. Yeah. I'm all rinsed. Oh my God, it's still warm. Fucking ridiculous. Oh. I'm like,
this turned out good.
I can hear, you can hear me chewing, but you can probably also hear Arthur licking his chops. This is awesome. Holy shit, this is fantastic.
Thanks. No, it's good to make something we don't hate.
Yeah, so that's a big thing with your podcast. Yeah. You're cooking food. Someone's like, I don't like peas. And you're like, all right, well, we'll figure out five cool pea dishes or whatever.
Yeah.
This is like, no one ever comes on and is like, I hate like well-made brisket.
We would love it.
Yeah, it would be such an easy episode for us.
If someone was like, I'm not a fan of bacon.
We've had people like talk about trying to cheat the system. Like, oh, I don't like steak. Just, oh, I hate ribeye. But by and large, people have been real honest about what they don't like.
Give me ribeye seven ways on a plate. Yeah, holy shit. That's
I hate Wagyu. I hate flying to Japan. But yeah, it's been pretty chill with people. Like, most of them are not that gross. Most of them are not awful.
Right. Well, I'm assuming you guys have some skill. It sounds like you wouldn't just deliver garbage to these people every week either.
Right. But it is scary. For me, like when we like, especially the first time, couple times we did it, when I'm like cooking for the chef at Helen Ray's, Johnny Ray Zone, who has cooked in legit kitchens, and I'm bringing him a thing he hates, and especially with that one, it was boiled sweet potatoes. So it's like we are so limited in what we can do with it,
right?
Yeah,
boiled sweet potato. Yeah. Do you guys get together and you're like, all right, so here's what they say they don't like, and like riff off ideas of like, oh, should we do? Oh, David, you do that dope thing. Like maybe we can figure out a way to squeeze a sweet potato in
it
there.
It started like that,
or is it now?
I'm so fucking lazy that what it is, and this is the honest truth, is David will send me a menu because he will obsess over it. And be like, these are the things. And then I'll say, oh, I like this. I don't like this. And this is if I'm like doing a good job of responding to the email. Sometimes it's okay, cool. And then he sends me five emails saying, what does that mean?
I don't think there is a podcasting duo that doesn't have a dynamic.
No,
it's like, I mean, I'm the you of this podcast, but it's only me, which is the problem. Where I'm like in charge of booking people. Oops.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a picture of this fucking table right now for when this episode comes out. And hell yeah. Wait, let me see if I can get Artie grilling. Oh, yeah, I stopped talking. This is a professional professional broadcaster.
We took a moment.
No, we could have taken that over, but I was just excited to look at Artie. So.
Yeah, so he'll come up with something, and then we'll kind of pitch ideas on what we think. Oh, or if it's like something, like I don't like a lot of stuff, or historically didn't. So I'll be like, oh, this is something that made me, and we'll consult other people.
Ask
my girlfriend, what do you not like? how do you not like this? Why might you like? Yeah.
Oh, right. Like figure out ways to hack something. Like
And a lot of it too is like searching the internet for like unusual ways to use this ingredient.
Like a boiled sweet potato ice cream or whatever. Yeah.
But like sometimes it's like, what are the component ingredients? Like what are the compounds that are in the thing? Like we have an episode coming out next week with bitter melon, which is a technical squash that cuts like a celery. It has squash seeds on the inside. It is so bitter. It has like celery texture. It is awful raw. And I wasn't raised on it. I'm sure there are people who grew up on bitter melon might like it. I think it's gross.
It's gross. No, no one likes it.
I think it's real gross.
I hate pizza.
But it contains a lot of what's in tonic water, which is what?
Quinine.
Quinine. It has a ton of quinine. So my thought is like, make a syrup with it. Then it's like a gin and tonic. It's a bitter melon gin and tonic.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like make a soda using bitter melon, and then it's like the same. It's like here's a way that features bitter melon that is not
interesting.
A usual use for it.
And I was like, cool, sounds good. That's how that worked out.
Do you when you're at a barbecue restaurant, do you end up making a sandwich at the table?
Oh, yeah. I don't. This is a thing. I was just not. I was in. Like Ireland and London.
These ribs are fucking bomb as well. Sorry to interrupt, but these ribs are fucking bomb. Yeah.
And they have all these barbecue just hit over there in a big way. But it's all like very nice sit downy kind of. It's like, oh, you get a little bit of pulled pork and two sides, and it's all fork and knife. And I like walked
in. And a waiter
in
with a white towel serves you? Or
it's way nicer than it should be.
Wait, where was this?
This was in Ireland. Okay. It's also in London. I mean, my girlfriend walked into one. And we were like, no, we're not going to eat here. We're not going to do this. And left, I was like, no. So I'm all about eat with your fucking hands.
Right. Get into That's funny because I would imagine that would be like when an Irish person was like, yeah, I went to New York City. And I went to an Irish pub and they like had waiters and waitresses. And it was like TVs on the wall and it's like not a real Irish pub. Yeah. And then like foreigners are like, hey, we have an American barbecue restaurant, but it's high end.
Yeah,
so it's
all
fancy.
Real. Yeah. It's, I mean, they're doing stuff. But.
You're from New York. Have you been to Hometown Barbecue yet?
Yes.
Okay.
And I used to love Fet Sal was the place I liked. It's in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And it was, I don't even know what it's in reference to, but it's F-E-T-T-E space S-A-U. And their fucking barbecue is bomb. And it's like a tray point place. But it's like bougie because it's in Williamsburg. So it's like kind of hipstery. But it is still like get up there with your tray and be like, how many of these? How much of this? And that's like my dream is like make my plate by like pointing.
They count, like you say, I want this amount weight wise.
Right. Yeah. 3/4 pound of brisket. I'm a huge fan of the brisket burn ends, obviously. Mm. And brisket roll. If there's some slaw, a little bit of slaw, but pickles on there too.
Oh yeah,
I love
pickles
brisket.
That's we're talking about Bledsoe's. That's my favorite thing there. That's not meat. Is their bread and butter pickles?
Oh,
are incredible.
Bread and butter pickles are my favorite pickles, and I think it's because they go well on sandwiches and barbecue specifically.
And I'm not a pickle dude, but I'll get into those like when they're there. Dude? And I don't even like I won't put them on anything. I'll just like some nice acid on top of this incredibly fatty meat. I'm
eating. It's like a savory sorbet for in between courses. It's like just place a pickle under your tongue, like sublingual. Just get those nutrients in there.
It's also nice that you don't have to fake that you hate a thing right now, Winston.
Yeah, I do take the side of the guest more often than not.
Oftentimes on the show, Winston will just like suddenly hate the food. Like
I don't like a lot of things.
It's
to
true.
Be fair.
There's very little I don't like.
I'm just an empath.
Yeah. That's so funny. I grew up in like a kind of sheltered food household. Like we were poor, and it was a lot. Like my parents worked nights and were gone a lot, so it was like $20 for pizza, a lot of sandwich nights, a lot of like I don't even eat pasta with red sauce anymore if unless it's like at an Italian restaurant, because that's what we just ate for like every
day.
It was just it's very cheap to feed five people, and it's just like put on this. You can make a pot of sauce free. You can make a gallon of sauce, freeze it, and just. You know, boil some ravs or whatever. So that's all I ate growing up. As a matter of fact, I never even had fresh vegetables, and I didn't even know that that was an issue until my wife, whose father was a cook, owned a restaurant, and her mom is a bomb-ass cook, too, and worked at that restaurant. So when I started dating her, they were like constantly going to like the market the day of to get stuff, or like, hey, I'm making veal scallopini tonight. And I'm just like a guy who likes most foods.
Yeah.
And because I got into like restaurants and stuff in college with my wife. That's where I first had Thai food. That's where I first had sushi. And then I would just go to her and I'd be like, she's like, you never even had. I'm like, well, we had like lettuce and tomatoes for like cold cut sandwiches. She's like, but what about like beans? I'm like, yeah, we had cans or frozen.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it like came another way.
There is a, I think that's like, your experience is probably way more American in general. I do a lot of, I'll shop day of, but I can walk to my grocery store.
Oh, that's the
and
best.
It's the, it is 100% the, well, I'll leave my house today and I will move my legs. Right. So I'll walk over there and then I'll do the, yeah, I'll walk back and then I'll buy too much and be like, well, I guess I'm taking a $5 Uber. I guess that's what's happening.
Yeah, I lived in Brooklyn for a long time. So that was like the stop at the market from the subway to your house life. And that was the best where like Tiff would, be, like my wife would just come by and be like, Dad, clams. And I got clams. And I'm like, yes, now we're having clams for dinner.
Yeah. I also think, you know, that forces you, I shop like almost exclusively by the weekly ad.
Oh,
I think
smart.
It forces you to move, like to do stuff other than like,
right. So you're going for like,
things.
You're going for like, oh, this is a dollar off this thing today.
Might well, steak was $5 for a pound. And I was like, yeah, I'll buy that. And like, yeah, I just kind of move around and I'll freeze stuff. I've become very much a like, I have turkey. Ooh, I can do something with that later.
There's like, a weird like level of adulthood with food where my wife, like she says, and I now I've caught on to it too. I open the fridge and I'm like, it feels good to see a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
It's like, but the worst thing for me is food waste. And I hate like produce. I'm always like, shit, I can't believe I didn't get to this broccoli rabe in time. And now it's like toast. Oh, I feel terrible.
I am so huge on not wasting food to my own detriment. Like now I have worms in my backyard for my food. And
it's okay if you ask us to leave at this point.
Yeah, it's fine. I have worms.
I'm just glad that the sentence that started with "I have worms" ended with "in my backyard." I'm very bad about getting rid of you. It made it to me in my head. It sounded like you ate a bunch of rotten food and got like a worm.
No.
Like, you're like, to my own detriment. So I ate all this old cheese and now
I
sleep with duct tape over my asshole at night.
I'll eat the food I cook poorly, where I mess this up as opposed to like dump it.
Oh yeah.
If it's still edible, I'm not throwing it out. The only time with our show where I threw stuff out was like when we ate natto, just because like I can't eat that again. It's like a fermented Japanese soybean.
Oh, it's the stuff that like is that like stinky tofu? Is
it
called?
It's equivalent-ish.
Yeah.
Because it like ferments, it warm ferments for like a day with a spore, and it's so.
Does anyone want a King's Hawaiian?
I do want a King's Hawaiian. Yeah. But yeah, I like had to throw that out. It's like I don't enjoy it, but I'll eat more often than not. I just eat. I don't want to see stuff go to waste.
I'm the same. We're all adults.
Yeah. I get so excited by like a 30% off sticker on chicken, way more than I should. Like that level of enthusiasm I don't have for so many other aspects of my life.
See, I'm a little bit bougier now. I'm guessing I'm probably a little older than you guys. And now me and my wife actually make like pretty good money and we don't have kids. So I'm sort of like, my thing is like, let me go to like the Grove Farmers Market meat guys. And I'm like, I'm not even looking at the price. I'm just looking at like, ooh, Applewood, Cherrywood smoked bacon. Let me try that. Yeah. And I'm just like, that shit appeals to me. And I always saw like my dad do stuff like that growing up. Even though we were poor, he would still be like, I got 12 frozen Joukowsky burgers. There's like this burger place that he loved. And he's like, they're in the freezer. Let me know if you want to have burgers one night. And I'm like, that's so fucking weird, Dad. Yeah. Now I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Totally.
I like, my thing is I like having a guy. Like I just got on a first name basis with the dude at my Ralph's, the meat guy. Like we've known each other. He knows when I'm coming up. Huh?
Was that Jacob who we saw?
His name's Armando.
Okay.
And he's rad. And I'm like, yeah, dude. Now he like I walk up and he's like, oh, what are you making barbecue today? What are you making? And I'm like, yes. Yes. He knows what's up.
All the cold cut guys at the Brooklyn Met Foods all knew me because they were all, I was a cold cut guy, get sandwiches made there all the time. But specifically, they were all like New York Yankee giant ginzos like myself. So I walk in, they're like, hey, you see this fucking guy throw the fucking interception? I'm like, yeah, fuck you. Hey, let me get this, you know. Those were my people.
Yeah, I get
it. I would see them on the street and they would like give me pounds and my neighbors would be like, who is that? I'd be like, oh, that's the deli guy.
Man, we got community. That's what I'm talking about. I'm into it.
Get out of there, you sneaky bastard. Holy shit, guys. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
This pork on the fucking King's Hawaiian dipped in the sauce.
Yo, you're on the right way.
I'm scared to say. I think this sauce is David's, this red, the redder one.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one I like more.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I mean, you're wrong, but that's okay.
Can we ask you this? Where do you stand on grape jelly?
Mm. Oh,
son of a
Do you hate it?
I love it. And he...
Oh, I like grape jelly. Yeah, I don't.
You're a reasonable person.
I don't eat it like often, but if you're giving me peanut butter and jelly, I'll love it. Yeah. Toast and jelly. You know where grape jelly's closet amazing? On a bacon, egg, and cheese.
What?
Trust me, dude.
I'm in.
And I don't know if I'm being casually racist when I say this.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
When I was on Wild and Out, a lot of the black dudes ate their bacon. In New York City, bacon, egg, and cheese or sausage, egg, and cheese is like a big thing. And usually SPK, salt, pepper, ketchup. But a couple of the black dudes were eating, everyone on the show was black except me. But a couple of the other guys were eating bacon, egg, and cheese with grape jelly. And I was like, that sounds crazy. And then I think it was my friend Kelly, who was like a hair and makeup person, was like, well, ketchup is tomato jelly.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah, it is. It is. It's just sweet. And so then I tried a bacon, egg, and cheese with like one smear of grape jelly. And
yeah.
Ooh, holy
that
shit.
That sounds good.
It's weird. I didn't think it would work. It's not, I didn't sound like it was for me. And then I fucking love it.
It sounds good. My girlfriend puts it on, she might get upset.
What?
She'll do biscuits and sausage gravy. And then also put like another biscuit with grape jelly and then kind of eat them at the same time.
Dude,
I know, but I get it.
I am on board.
Because the way you looked at me looked like you were gonna be upset.
I put a smear of fig jam on my day after Thanksgiving. By the way, the day after Thanksgiving sandwich is my favorite food of
all
time.
It's the best sandwich.
Yeah.
That's great.
As a matter of fact, it's usually the 11 p.m. on Thanksgiving sandwich.
Okay. I'm on board.
And mayo, integral ingredient, white bread, integral ingredient. But now my wife spreads a little fig jam and a little arugula on there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's fresh. Freshens it up a little bit.
Do you
cranberry sauce on it?
Oh, yeah.
So cranberry and fig going on.
Yeah, I think for me, it's you go cranberry and gravy, or you go fig and arugula for like a fresher sort of like. Yeah, like.
on this heavy ass thing,
this tryptophan bomb.
You're on my open face with mashed potatoes as the top bun sandwich. Yeah.
God, I love the fucking Thanksgiving sandwich.
Oh,
it's the gobbler from Cipriani's or whatever.
I was in Vegas and they still have those there. And I was like, do I fucking stop? Is this what I get midday?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it'll end your day. It'll kill you.
Dude, that's so funny you say end your day. That's how I talk about all my favorite meals. Mm-hmm. I can't eat them until it's the relax. I can't eat them until it's like the end of my day.
Mm-hmm.
Like Taco Bell, Chinese, like traditional New York Chinese food, and like heavy barbecue. I'm like,
oh, for this, I got my work done this morning.
I almost blew off working out today because my wife just left town, and I'm like, well, I'll just get stoned all morning and watch a movie and then eat barbecue at 1 o'clock with these guys. And then I was like, fuck, you should go exercise.
You need to do something.
So I went and swam a bunch of laps, and now I feel completely comfortable and engorging my strength. If you end up behaving, Arthur, you will get a piece of pork, but let's see if you can end up behaving. I think I had one of these guys.
And then those are the sauce ones. Those are giant. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll live.
Holy
shit.
To pull the veil back. So on my birthday, which was in July, end of July, I bought these ribs. They've been frozen.
Why are you doing
when
this?
Because I like this story. I got super drunk on my birthday and had my girlfriend drop me off at Ralph's at 11 at night because I knew they were having a sale and bought ribs. So I drunkenly had like a piece of Tres Leches cake and like four racks of ribs. And I'm like, not like I'm birthday drunk. I'm a mess.
And you're not going to like start an 8-hour cooking process at this point.
They were looking at me. I was like, no, it's. I got it.
I love that. The clerks are still talking about that night. Like the people who worked that night were like, remember when that dude came in here fucking shit faced and left with a bunch of ribs and a cake?
Yeah. He's a real problem. Like not with booze, but with like meat.
Yeah, I wonder if he's still alive. I hope he didn't eat those raw.
Yeah, no, they've seen me since.
Okay,
they know. They also know like whether or not I've gotten shit done in the morning, because it's like, am I obviously in pajamas still and walked over there, or am I like together?
Fair. Yeah, and so those ribs were brined for like 6-7 hours. It's about as far as you can go, and then
You can't brine more than that.
Oh, they'll get mushy.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Because that's why the few times I've tried to, I tried to make ribs in a slow cooker. I've never had a grill because I've lived in an apartment my whole life.
Right.
And I never had a smoker. So I tried to make ribs in a slow cooker. And it ended up, they were fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But they were literally like, I reached in to grab one and just pulled the bone out. Yeah. And I was like, oh. So I ended up having like riblet stew or whatever.
Sure.
But it was fucking amazing.
I'm sure that sounds so close to Brunswick stew, which is perhaps my favorite food of all time.
Oh, shit.
That's interesting. Like, I can't imagine, because I'm from places where we had lots of space. Like, I don't live in an apartment, like a real legit, you go inside to go into an apartment until I moved here.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine like not having access to. I mean, now I don't.
And,
but.
I barely have access. Yeah. It's like this is on an electric smoker on a back porch of mine.
Yeah. Just like almost
just
legal.
Just barely fits.
Almost.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I remember in Brooklyn, shout out to Justin Tyler. We had a buddy of mine. We had a grill on his fire escape. And the fire department just said, yo, like we look out and there's like four firemen on the street. Can't, sorry guys, you cannot be doing that. It's literally for escaping fire and you're putting fire on it. Fair enough.
I really wanted, I don't want that building to burn down, but I want in that moment people to have to leap out and then just see like hot dogs.
out of the frying pan, into the fire.
Some New Yorker writer just goes, and writes that down.
Yeah, cartoon.
Yeah.
I'll say this because Winston hasn't heard me say this. For a long time, I was into a YouTube channel called Chef Steps, and they make a Joule, which is a standing sous vide machine, which I own and think is useful and has its place. But for the longest time, like part of us getting the smoker was us wanting to make more and more ribs, and they do their own apartment ribs, which involve a sous vide machine, running water, circulating at a temperature, and then they put in liquid aminos, nitrates to get the fake smoke ring, and liquid smoke. And the more we've done this, the more that does upset me.
Yeah.
And for a long time, that was a sticking point between us. I was like, this has its merit, and now I...
We used to smoke a pork butt in our oven for the derby every year, and we would use liquid smoke for that. But then my friends, the guy who did all the smoking, his in-laws like got him a smoker, and it was like game changer.
It's completely
it's
different.
So different
thing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I'm fine with liquid smoke. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's gross how they make it, but yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it's weird when you like open it and you're like, wait, what is
this? Why is this someone ran my laundry after staying near a campfire.
Isn't it just they have a water circulator above a smoker?
It literally just like, it's like a pan of water. The way you can make it is put a pan of water in a smoker, run smoke on it for a long time, pour that water out, and then reduce it, and then that's like
smoke. That's what liquid smoke is.
There's a bit different ways, but that's like if you want to make it at home. Like if we were going to make it on a smoker.
Oh, so that's less artificial than I pictured in my head.
I mean, that's how we, like, I've used it for stuff before, but like that's the basic idea. Yeah.
Right.
I always go with smoked salt, which most people don't use, and is fucking hella good.
Oh, smoked salt on a cookie?
Yeah.
I love smoked salt. I do smoked salt on my wings. Once they're right before they go into the broiler. Mm-hmm. I love smoked salt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put that on, I use that instead of salt on pretty much everything now. Yeah. I just did it on broccoli yesterday. Yeah.
This is the, I feel like in a big way, smoking is replacing deep frying. Like, so for Thanksgiving, people are always like, oh, you know, deep fry your turkey, deep fry your turkey.
Fuck, I had a deep fried turkey. It was fire.
They're great.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's been a weird twist where now all of a sudden people are like, you know, smoked turkey's really good. And it's this weird, like, people are just slowly, everything's becoming smoked that used to be fried.
Right, like, and I think it's because it's like, it is healthier. Yeah. It's or less unhealthy is probably the best way to phrase that.
Well, I don't know. Is a smoked turkey or a deep fried turkey healthier than a roasted turkey?
I think smoked would be no different, really.
Yeah. Smoked will probably lose more fat, right? But then the flip side of this, and this is a true thing, is smoked meat is a carcinogen.
Right.
So
smoke is a carcinogen. Yeah.
There's this whole half where you're like, oh, the barbecue's so good, and it's just like grilled meat
covered
in stuff that'll give you cancer. But yeah, sure.
Let's not do too much research.
Yeah. Pass that pork.
Yeah. speaking of which, I mean, I smoke weed every day, so I don't think I can get on a high horse about pulled pork.
That's like a real, the worst person in the world is the one who's, I don't have an objection to the animals.
I would love to eat more cow, but.
Yeah, no, I think.
Can you just boil it? Can I just have it boiled?
Yeah. I think a roasted turkey is my number three of smoked fried.
They can all be good. When
they're all great.
Right.
Yeah. The only problem with the fried is the, what do? You get a gravy problem.
Yeah. You get a big gravy problem.
You can't fresh make gravy, yeah.
Right. You have to like buy separate turkey parts.
And then you're buying two or four turkeys.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you're doing Thanksgiving, if you're hosting and you're frying a turkey, I think you need to have a roasted turkey as a backup.
That's usually the that's what I've seen is two options.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
My friend's family.
Ham.
throw a fucking ham on there. I'm not going to complain. A friend's family deep fried a turkey for 4th of July, and they did it like. The pot is like boiling oil. They drop like two sticks, you know, like people drop it in like a limbo stick. It's fucking cool as hell to watch.
It's fun.
I enjoy
it. My dad does it.
We bought one, my family one year, like their fryer broke. So they tried to buy an air fryer for a turkey, which is a nightmare. It's just like flames around a turkey. It's the worst thing in the world. And we couldn't get it hot enough because the wind was blowing. And that was like the year where we were just like, all right, let's just go get another one, put it in the oven, and we could eat at 8 p.m. if we're lucky.
On Thanksgiving day of trying to buy a turkey, the people in the store is like, are you guys fucking kidding me?
Hey, do you guys have any turkeys left?
Also, pies? Do you have some pies?
We have pies at home, but I need one for the ride. It's getting a little trafficky out there. I could take a pie to the dome on the ride back.
We are gearing up for... We're getting right into my favorite season, which is like this holiday. Eat the worst foods.
My wife hosts Thanksgiving here. Her family, her mom and dad, fly out for it, and she really goes to town. She makes every dish, and she's a very good cook, and she likes to do it. Yeah. The one thing she'll tell you that she doesn't have is speed.
Yeah,
like it's like a process, and she doesn't mind that. She likes to, you know, sip wine, listen to podcasts or music, and cook for fucking hours. Mm-hmm. But the shit, dude, she makes such bomb food. Stuffing is my favorite food that I try to limit myself to eat like for 4 days a year around Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's stuffing is
sausage magical. Or no sausage in your slice?
I wasn't raised on sausage. Like what's it? Mendocino Farms on their November to Remember sandwich does a kale sausage stuffing that is unreal. I would just eat a sandwich just with that stuffing.
Wait, it's called November to Remember is the name of their
Whenever
sandwich?
Whenever they have it as a special, that is the best sandwich
and
in LA.
What place you say? Bristol
Mendocino Farms?
Oh, Mendocino Farms. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I've had that there. That's a good sandwich. Yeah.
I've never put sausage in mine. I might.
Ooh.
People put oysters in it.
Get
too,
oysters
I've
out
never
of there.
Done that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't hate that, but I don't know about
that. But you're a pro sausage?
Pro crumbly sausage.
Really?
Yes, yes.
And I guess that sounds good.
Yeah,
I've just never.
It just it's you can barely even see it really when it's in there because it's like, but you know, and you can taste it when you're like, ooh, that was bread and meat in one bite.
It's the best. Yeah, stuffing is it's wet bread and it's so good.
Yeah, it's wet
it's
bread
so good.
That you can put gravy on and you can eat by the bowl and no one says anything.
What stuffing did we do? We did a beer bread stuffing.
Yeah, we did a beer bread stuffing Thanksgiving.
We did a Thanksgiving at my house like 2 weeks early, so the technical Friendsgiving.
Yes.
And
which I'm kind of against now.
You really?
I think it ruins Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It ruins the actual day because I've had everything already.
Yeah, I think if you're having Friendsgiving, it's in lieu of Thanksgiving.
Yes,
that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
But he made it, beer bread stuffing.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, it was
beer
good.
Bread? What's beer bread?
Beer bread's a quick bread that's just beer, baking powder, and flour.
Oh, and then you like let it go stale or whatever?
It had gone. He'd made it a giant thing of it.
Yeah, we just toasted it
and
off.
Then we made it croutons out of it, then made it into.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bread, that's something we don't make in this house ever, really.
Really?
Yeah.
I just got into it because I bought yeast for a thing for the show and then was like, well, I have yeast. I guess I have to make cinnamon rolls because that's how my brain works.
Yeast. I guess I'll make cinnamon rolls. Got to go buy cinnamon in the roll.
I need everything else.
But at least I have the yeast.
Yeah, I'll buy cookie dough while I'm there.
Right.
Yeah. But it's actually really fun. Because I work from home right now, so it's great. Like, I'm like, I have time to do something for 30 minutes, leave it for 2 hours,
right.
Come back to it. And it kind of smells like it feels like you're really making something, which is nice.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of it like that.
Because it fills the house with kind of this beery, yeasty thing. Yeah. It's good.
I bake my bacon, so that's
When you said you're really good at breakfast, I was like, I wonder if he bakes his bacon. Because that's the way to do it.
I bake my bacon.
That's the only way.
And now I got like a grill piece that goes in the tray so that it doesn't even sit in its own grease. And it sort of comes out. And it's with thick cut bacon, it really hits hard.
That's like my favorite, like that texture of like thick cut bacon when the fat has left, but the like, it's almost like the tiny bit of cells that held the fat in place. And when you bite into it, and it explodes, kind of, is my favorite thing of food.
It was
the best.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Yeah.
Here we are, having just eaten a lot of smoked pork,
just shouting about other
reminiscing.
Food.
Like,
well,
honestly,
this is my what me and my wife do literally every single day and night is eat a meal while talking about other meals we liked.
Yeah.
We'll be at a restaurant for the first time, having never eaten at a restaurant, be like, this place is so bomb. Ooh, you know where else we gotta go? Oh, do you remember how good the wings were at this place?
Yeah.
You know what I've been getting into lately, and I'm starting to think I might have a job opportunity for you guys?
Yeah.
Some pop-up like restaurants and events. Mm-hmm. My friends Wendy and Shruti at When You're Hungry, these ladies are amazing cooks, and they fire up like a random event like once a month and like that. And they're just like, hey, we're doing a thing here at this place. We're cooking out. They each tackle like one major dish and throw something. But recently they've also gotten into making infused, like weed infused.
I think I saw this.
I just went to one at Fatbirds in East LA, and they made like three dishes.
Fatbirds?
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, those guys fry very good chicken. Worth the drive.
We talked with them for the show.
We've talked with them for the show.
They want to do chitlins, which is scary.
Yeah. I don't mind chitlins.
Really?
Yeah. If it's meat, I'm often okay with it. You know what I mean? Because like even a nasty meat flavor is a flavor I like.
Because tripe is about the point of the animal where I stop.
Yeah. I'll eat, you know... asshole to snout. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. When we did a pig roast 1/4 of July in Cape Cod with some friends, and they were like, it was just cooking all day long, spraying it down with apple cider vinegar or whatever. And I was like, do we eat the face? And they were like, yeah, the cheeks are supposed to. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I grabbed the cheeks. I'm like, what about the eyeballs? And they're like, I don't know about the eyeballs. I was like, I'll find out. Just like eat a pig's eye.
I think cheek of almost every animal is the best
cheek
part.
Cheek is good.
Yeah. Cheek, ears, neck, belly.
Pig are good. I've had pig ears multiple times.
Oh.
Salmon cheeks, especially if you're doing fish.
Oh, hell yeah.
Eyeballs. Yeah. I'm not super into.
They're not. No, you're right. Let's just say hindsight is 10 out of 20. it's not good. But, yo, pig ear, animal, John and Vinny, those guys do a great pig ear where they chop it up with chili lime and egg. And it's so fucking good. Do you guys have cooks that are doing stuff that you really enjoy? Or do you have, like, in LA or about? Or,
that are doing stuff that really
or food trends that are popping off right now that you really like?
I'm staunchly anti-food trend.
Are you?
In a weird, I don't love, I've as I've gotten more into it, there's like...
You don't like the gentrification of low-quality meals?
No, I don't. Yeah. Basically, no, I don't like that if you're watching, like, say you're watching some show like Mind of a Chef or something, and you'll see like someone's like, green strawberries. This is like my best example. And then you'll see how in everyone else, if you follow their Instagrams, they're all just using the same thing.
Right,
and I'm like, what the... It's like a weird echo chamber that I don't love.
Yeah.
That being said, there's people doing great work.
Like
in LA, especially. I think LA is the best place to eat in the world right now. And
it seems like that, right? And I lived in New York before this, and it seems like LA is just like, there's just, I mean, and maybe it's because 2018 is a very good time to eat in major cities, period.
Well, we were just in New York, and I was like, here's the deal. The pizza here's better. Yes. Given. Overall, I'm not seeing as much great food on the street when I'm walking around as I am in LA. Like, LA's food's crazy.
I think I have to agree, and I'm like, get my New York card taken away for saying something like that.
We don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, I would be in hot water even with my wife. But I just think that there's just more options out here, and it just, I mean, more options of types of food. I think in New York, every neighborhood has a decent, you're within walking distance, no matter where you live, of a decent Indian place, a decent Thai place, pretty good pizza place, decent Mexican place, all within four blocks, which I think makes you believe that New York is the, I can get whatever I want within a mile radius. But then in like LA, it's like, there's maybe not a great Indian spot I could walk to, but there's so many fucking fire spots you can go.
I think we have we're just big enough to where these communities start here. And they can kind of work within themselves to like push up really great stuff, but still close enough that those things can intersperse.
Right.
Whereas New York, they're all kind of right on top of one
another.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
And also I'm going to say it. We have an influence of Asian cuisine that while New York does have the standard New York Chinese food.
Yeah.
We have Korean that's way better. And when it comes to Chinese food, if you go out to the San Gabriel Valley,
dude,
holy shit.
I was just about to say, I've now eaten at Elite Cuisine and Chengdu Taste.
I just did Chengdu Taste for the first time.
I went with Phil Rosenthal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if I can name drop, yeah.
Yeah, you went with Frankie Gutman.
Yeah, a dumb guy named Frankie. That's incredible. No, Chengdu's amazing,
it was
right?
So good. Did you have toothpick lamb when you were there?
Yeah, we did toothpick lamb, the danda noodles, mapo tofu, and the green beans.
Oh, they were all, I had all those, crazy. Plus the big pork hock or whatever.
Oh, nice.
And that was fucking awesome.
I'm like, well, this doesn't exist anywhere, not in the world. Like,
I mean, just
about,
driving
like,
the SGV where there's like those five, like, you know, there's like 10 restaurants on that one road, and you're like, this doesn't exist anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems crazy. And then I went to Elite, which is like a dim sum place, and it is like literally, like, I felt like I was in another country, probably China. I was like pointing at the menu, and they were like, just giving me a thumbs up and coming back with it.
I think it's giving yourself over to a restaurant is a very helpful thing for having great meals, like not being afraid. People are afraid of, like, tell me exactly what this is. If you can just, like, put your faith, like, be told, this is a great restaurant, let them tell you what to eat here.
I'm almost comfortable telling someone, like, just, look, I make decent money. I'm sure you're not going to, like, gouge me.
Yeah.
But, look, we eat a lot. And, like, I'm very open with the waiters. I'm always like, so is this, like, especially now with this movement towards, like, it's four to, you know, two shared plates per person or whatever. And I'm like, look, we eat more than a lot of other people. I eat specifically more, and, like, look at my gut and my eyes. My gut is huge and my eyes are very red. I'm about to eat whatever you put in front of me. So what should we get? Like, and then I'll make an insane order and then always ask the waiter, are we missing anything that we would be upset that we're, that's and great. Like, I can't, I don't even give a fuck. Like, I eat every meal like I'm going to the electric chair right after.
Yeah. Have you eaten a lot of Filipino food out here?
No, I haven't.
That is one of the trends that I just think Filipino food is crazy really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm into it. I bet I would believe based on regionality, like
Spanish,
the kind of stuff
Asian.
They're making.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I love that shit. Yeah.
So that would be one of the trends that I'm excited
about. Do you have a Filipino restaurant?
I need to go to Bahai Kubo, which is so close to me.
I went to the Park's Finest Barbecue, if you've ever
been
there.
And Park's Finest is awesome.
That is, it's a barbecue, American barbecue, Filipino fusion restaurant.
Ooh.
And it's been around in LA forever. I only went for the first time like 2 weeks ago.
And it was
like,
good.
Holy shit.
It's great.
Good buds, Eugene, shout out to Eugene Cordero, is Filipino and is always talking about Filipino food. And I'm like, it sounds like it's perfect for me.
It's great.
It's a little more sour, but it's great.
I just went to Maui and with my wife, and I fucking love the Hawaiian food. I love like the I could go to a.
I love the rolls. I love the things they put on their rolls.
I like Hawaiian rolls. I like.
Yeah. Oh, you got a grilled cheese on a Hawaiian roll? Oh.
Yeah. Hey, look, mahalo, mate. Yeah. Just like eating a loaf of bread at the beach. Yeah. I like.
They have all these Hawaiian fruits at the grocery store, like pineapple.
Yeah. I like going to like get to the deli and getting poke and masubi and being like, just every supermarket having bomb ass poke sitting out, like the way we have tuna salad at.
They have poke at the Ralph's near me right now. And I don't mess with poke in general. It's not for me. It's too big. It's not my thing. And I know that, and that's fine. But people are like, oh, I'm going to get some of this. I was like, you're going to get it at the. They're like, you can get grocery stores in Hawaii. I'm like, this isn't Hawaii. I'm not buying Ralph's next to the pre-cooked shrimp poke. Yeah. Get out of here.
I just made the leap to like Gelson's sushi in the last year.
That
where
I
I'm
think
like,
is 20 years in.
Right.
Sushi
trend. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the move. It's like, let it be around for 10 years being done by pros before this grocery store. Store start doing
and then what's another trend? I don't know if it's good universally for our country, but I have enjoyed the artisanal ice cream trend here. LA, I've been in LA for a decade now, and for it used to be a dearth of ice cream. There was
nothing. Because it's a dearth of anything that's sort of like naughty food.
Yeah, right, and that's shifting in LA. Now people are like,
LA is not just hiking and juices anymore.
Yeah.
We're now getting like a foodie scene, and I think. But the thing is, with this artisanal stuff, I think the way they light up the LA bougie hippie life is that it's like, it's all natural ingredients. It's like all you need to hear is like, if I'm going to have ice cream, it might as well be cream, sugar, and this, rather than like Ben and Jerry's. I mean, Ben and Jerry's is bomb too and doesn't have that many artificials.
I mean, I'll eat fucking any ice cream. I'm a real monster when it comes to it.
I don't eat sweets really, but ice cream is the one that I will break for, you know?
And this ice cream a monster is my favorite food.
Is it?
By far. Like, oh, not even like I, like, I'll eat crazy stuff. Like we had, what was the octopus we had in?
Sanakji, which is live squid.
We've eaten live squid together.
Like the live, they just chop it and it's still moving.
Oh, yeah. God, that's a dream.
My
taste
would go, it was good. I liked it. But
that's like my literal life. I want to go everywhere and literally eat everything. I will try any food. If it is, I've eaten things that aren't even food, like on dares. Okay. So I'm willing to eat anything that a culture would eat.
You know? Well, the one thing I regret that Winston did make me eat, which
I
was...
I didn't make you.
It was just like, how am I not going to eat this if it's there? Yeah. And like, it's presented in front of me, but what was it? Horse sashimi
in Japan.
In Japan.
What? You guys went to Japan?
Yeah. We
did Japan
and
Korea
together. That was
the same
trip as we ate the squid.
Wait, you guys went to Japan and Korea together. I can only imagine what that eating tour would be like.
It was, it was us and then another buddy of mine who he had not met, I think, before this.
No.
And my buddy was like, and me and my buddy had gone to Europe together like the year before this. We were doing a thing, we were going on a trip once a year together. And we went and we got back and he regularly messaged me like, the way you guys travel, because it's all just food and then what you're doing in between food and then food.
Was he
upset? He was like, this is the best.
Oh, good.
I can't believe I haven't been doing this. And I'm like, yeah.
I went to Barcelona for the first time this year and it's literally the culture. The culture is walk somewhere, eat and drink there, walk to another place, eat and drink. And it's like snacks and cocktails and drinks.
When I did Barcelona, it was like eat tapas, then chase the sandwich spot.
I used to fucking
Wait, is
best.
The sandwich spot moving? What do you mean?
We're going to eat at this sandwich spot that's in this neighborhood. It's like, cool, let's stop at these four bars and eat on the way there. Yeah. Like we would get to, we ate dinner at like 11 p.m. three nights in a row because we were just so full at like dinner time.
Did you make it down to Southern Spain at all?
No. Okay. We were just in Barcelona.
Because tapas gratis is, I think, the greatest thing in the world.
What's that?
That is, go to any bar in Southern Spain, and they're kind of, it's not profitable, so they're phasing it out, but for decades.
If you order a drink, they get
get a free tapa. Oh. And so it's just like, you're just ordering drinks, but you're getting full, and it's just like some of the best food, and like, the meal can't stop getting better.
right. There was a place in Williamsburg called Crocodile Lounge, or it was Alligator Lounge, and then Crocodile Lounge was the one in the East Village that when you bought a pint of beer, gave you a free personal pizza that they cooked in their pizza oven.
Great.
And I would remember being like, going home, being like, I had six beers and six pizzas tonight. And I would wake up in the morning, so hungover, and my mouth shredded from just like...
Just the top of your mouth from like that
absolutely,
crust.
Yeah, exactly. Just buying the hard crust and the super hot cheese. I'm just like jamming it in my mouth after fucking every pint. Oh, God, we barely talked about barbecue, but we ate so much barbecue. Oh. Holy shit, guys. This was fantastic.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Nice.
This is so awesome. And now I'm looking forward to going on to your podcast and eating whatever the hell.
Some real garbage.
Yeah. I'll bring King's Hawaiian to put it on.
That'll be great.
Yeah. A stinky tofu sandwich. No. Smear light mayo.
I had this in Hawaii. Like, this is what I was talking about.
I'm pretty sure I had this in Hawaii. Yeah. Poke sandwich. What's the name of your podcast?
Let's do a little plug. We're Try It, You'll Like It. We're on the Campfire Media Network, and we're Try It, Like It Pod all over the internet.
Yeah.
So Try It, Like It Pod. We're biggest. Our Instagram's the best because then you can see our food.
Yes.
If you go
we're
to our
a visual thing, so it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
And
that
food
we
food is a visual thing, but it's actually even one step past it because it's a mouth thing.
So we chose a medium that does not showcase food well at all. So if you'd like to see the food in our show, go to Try It, Like It Pod.
Yeah.
That's probably the best place to go for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, guys, this was fucking fantastic. And do you guys have, are you on Twitter personally or anything?
Winstonius.
At Winstonius?
Yeah. I'm Zwick Tweets on Twitter. Very dumb bit there. And then also a very dumb bit on my personal Instagram, which I will just briefly plug. I just take videos of my dog asking him if he wants to be on YouTube, and he gets very confused. And you can find a daily story of that at Zwick's Picks. That's ZwixPix.
I love that you took more time to plug that than our podcast.
I don't have a thing I'm more excited about in my life than asking my dog Dallas whether he wants to be on YouTube.
That's so fucking awesome. So I'll tweet out because I'll ask listeners to tell us what foods they hate or what food trends they're enjoying that are popping up.
We'd
right
be
now.
Thrilled.
Yeah. And guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Being a guest on my podcast is already so fucking ridiculous. To have cooked to be on it, to like bring food to eat while we're on it. Guys, I appreciate this so much.
Oh, this was great for us.
Yeah,
it's nice to not have to make
garbage.
Celery sorbet.
Right. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Listen to Action Boys, Raised by TV. Buy a shirt at Gabrus.com/shirts and download these fucking guys podcasts. They made me pork after all. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.